Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You know, when you read through the Word of God, so many questions arise. And I found that to be true, particularly with St. Matthew's Gospel. And that is why I decided to do this series, to teach through Matthew's Gospel and to answer the questions that so often arise. At the Christian Research Institute, we have never been as engaged as we are right now. We do so much. There's so much interaction. There's so much media. The Hank Unplugged podcast, the Hank Unplugged shorts. We also do, of course, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and the list goes on. 24/7 ministry outreaches around the world. We have truly gone global. And I bring all of that up at the beginning of this broadcast simply to say that I'm grateful for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. On yesterday's broadcast, I concluded with the words of Jesus. They're poignant and profound words. Jesus says it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for the towns that reject the message and miracles that I am now going to do through my disciples. Why does Jesus say this? He says this because to reject the disciples is tantamount to rejecting Messiah himself. Those who reject the miracle-working disciples are in fact rejecting the very work of God. And thus their guilt would exceed the guilt of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that, of course, is quite a mouthful. Here, as elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus makes absolutely clear that there are degrees of reward in heaven, and so too that there are degrees of punishment in hell. These are eternal verities, because all of us will spend an eternity somewhere. And thus we cannot just let these words wash over us as though they are somehow or other unimportant. Our Lord is pointing out that he is perfectly just, and that each person who spurns the grace that could be theirs will suffer eternally and suffer exactly what they deserve. St. Paul's words in this regard are particularly sobering. In Romans chapter 2, he says this, "But because of your stubbornness, because of your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, the day when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done." to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, for those who reject the truth, for those who follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Again, the words of St. Paul in Romans chapter 2. And these words, the Bible as a whole, make clear that with greater revelation and responsibility comes stricter judgment. Jesus warned the Pharisees that they would be punished most severely. Why? Because of their willful hypocrisy. Thus says our Lord, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for the town that rejects the message of Messiah in their midst. The town that vicariously rejects the message of Messiah through the disciples of Messiah. The scriptures from first to last are clear about the common sense notion that not all sins are created equal. Think about it. Think, for example, about the sin of Judas. It was greater than that of Pilate. And so it stands to reason that there are degrees of sin. Not all sin is created equal. Murdering someone created in the image of God is a far greater sin than thinking a murderous thought. That stands to reason, of course. Of course, every sin is an act of rebellion against a holy God, but some sins carry far more serious consequences than other sins, and thus those sins will receive a greater punishment in this life as well as a greater punishment in the life that is to come. And such would be the case for the cities and towns that rejected the message of the disciples that Jesus is now dispatching. Let me also underscore a relevant parallel. For just as there are degrees of punishment in hell, well, so too there are degrees of reward in heaven. This is a constant theme in the recorded words of our Lord. Remember back to the words that we studied in St. Matthew's Gospel 10 chapters or so back, where Jesus concludes his Beatitudes with the words, "Blessed. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." And then Jesus, as we studied and as we looked at intently, continues the message by warning the crowd that if they did their acts of righteousness to be seen by men, they would not receive a reward in heaven. That was in Matthew chapter 6. Now, the words of our Lord, as always, are crystal clear. Rather than fixate on earthly vanities, rather than fixate on the admiration of people, we ought to focus on eternal verities. We ought to focus on the approval of the Master. That's the highest goal. And in doing that, we are in sync with the exhortation of the Lord to store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And you know, Jesus made essentially the same point in the parables. Think the parable of the talents. When I come back from the break, I want to tell you one of the stories that Jesus made famous. You know, the disciples were hearing it perhaps for the first time. We may have heard it over and over again. But again, when we come back from the break, we're going to focus on that and a whole lot more as we continue through St. Matthew's Gospel, as we continue answering those questions that arise as we read the majestic words of Scripture. Don't take it for granted. People in prisons all over the world wish they had what you now have access to. Again, coming up to the break, as we go to break, my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are truly making a difference for time and for eternity. Be right back.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture, Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before the break, I was sort of focused on these words of Jesus where he says in Matthew chapter 10, 15, I tell you the truth, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. He's talking about the town that does not receive the message of his disciples and vicariously does not receive the message of Messiah. And of course, in those words, more tolerable than, we get the notion of degrees of punishment in hell and also vicariously degrees of reward in heaven. And as we're going to break, I was just about to tell you a parable of talents that Jesus tells. And those words, as he tells them, are, I'm sure, riveting to his disciples, and they ought to rivet us as well. Again, it's the parable of the talents. Jesus tells the story of a man who entrusted his property to his servants and then went on a long journey. And if you recall, each servant received an amount commensurate with his abilities. So to one he gives 5 talents, to the other he gives 2 talents, and to a third he gives 1 talent. So what happened? Well, as you recall, the servant who received 5 talents doubled his money, and the servant who received 2 did exactly the same. But the last servant, the servant who received 1, showed gross negligence, says Jesus. He buried his master's money in the ground. He took the talent and buried it. And when his master returned, he rewarded the faithful servants. This is what he said. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness. But the unfaithful servant not only forfeited his reward, but, says our Lord, he was thrown into outer darkness. And in outer darkness, there's weeping, there's gnashing of teeth, a horrible reality. And so the canon of Scripture communicates degrees of reward in the resurrection, degrees of punishment in hell, degrees of reward in heaven. We should always remember in this kind of a conversation that the basis of our salvation is the finished work of Christ. But we as Christians can erect the building of rewards upon that foundation. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As St. Paul puts it, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. And that one which is already laid is Jesus Christ. But if a man builds on this foundation using gold and silver and costly stones, a wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. How is that? Well, because St. Paul makes clear that the day of judgment will bring it to light, that it is going to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will, of course, receive reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. And then, says St. Paul, he himself will be saved, but but only as one escaping through the flames. And so St. Paul is illustrating the sober reality that some Christians will be rescued with precious little to show for the time they spent on earth. They will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. I've often said that this conjures up images of people escaping burning buildings with little more than charred clothes upon their backs. And that will be the lot of even the most visible Christian leader whose motives were selfish rather than selfless. Now, on the other hand, those who build selflessly upon the foundation of Christ using gold, silver, costly stones will indeed receive enduring rewards. In fact, we can go so far as saying that a selfless Christian layperson who labors in virtual obscurity will hear the words that I'm sure a selfless Christian longs to hear throughout his or her lifetime. Those words, I'm sure they're etched in your memory. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. While deeds are our duty, they are our duty. Not the smallest act of kindness will go without its reward. And that's precisely the point that Paul is driving at in one of his letters to the Corinthian Christians. He presses the analogy of athletics and he writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They get it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last for all eternity." You know, it's so interesting. As I say those words, I'm thinking about last night. I was watching the Olympics, and you think about all that goes into being an Olympic athlete. The conditioning, the eating, the discipline. And then you stand on the podium and you receive a gold or a silver or a bronze medallion, as it were. And you know, people say you can never take that away from a person. And it's true that it is a great, great honor in this life, but it is so temporary because life is a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And you know, when you think of that, you again think of the words of St. Paul, who says, in light of a garland leaf-like prize that doesn't last. He says, in light of something, though, that does light, that does last for all eternity, he says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating air. No, I beat my body. I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for this reward, for this pride, this prized possession, a reward that will last for all eternity. Yeah, again, going back to the Olympics, those are temporary prizes. They're significant. They may change the course of a person's life. But when we lay up treasures for ourselves in eternity, they change our eternal life. I've said it before, this life is but a drop in the ocean of eternity. So do not labor for that which perishes. Labor for that which is eternal. Make a difference while you're here. Because when you do, you're making a difference for all eternity. Always have your sights set on eternity. And if you do so, you will live life well. Life in this life, life after life, and life after life after life. I've written about that in a book called Afterlife. It's a book that I'm sure you can find on the web at equip.org. I think if you read it, it's set up in a question-answer format. Many of the questions about eternal life will be answered for you. And these, of course, are answers to questions of critical importance. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When we pick it up next, we'll be in Matthew 10, chapter 16. You may want to read it ahead of time. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.